to the Scarlet Collective. It's Mary Adele, your friendly neighborhood sexuality educator, here to normalize conversations about sex and sexuality, but also make these conversations joyful, liberating, and inclusive so we can all live more fulfilling, pleasurable lives. Quick disclaimer, we will be talking about trauma and sexuality on today's episode, so make sure you're taking care of yourself. You know, if that means not listening, go ahead and tune out, and maybe you can tune back in later on. But yeah, just take care of yourself. I don't know if I mentioned this in my most recent episode, but I want to explain why I'm calling you Scarlets, which is just a really simple explanation. The Scarlet Collective, Scarlets, and I just think it's a cute nickname. So if you are like, why is she calling me that? That's why. All right, so today's episode is the first part of a two-part series on shame. Doesn't sound like a fun topic, but I'm going to make it fun, don't you worry. So let's go ahead and give y'all a definition of shame, which I just pulled right from Google. A painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. So really what's key in this definition is, quote unquote, the consciousness, because that means it's how we're perceiving things that are said to us, things that are done to us, things that we say to ourselves, things that we experience. So we are actively, I wouldn't say choosing, but it's something that has been maybe conditioned within us to see, have something embarrassing happen, and then to immediately feel an internal, painful, full of criticism, whether you're talking to yourself that way or it's just the feeling of it. That's what shame is. It's very much something that we can control if we can tune into these moments that we feel shame, like these long periods of time that we feel shame. All humans, okay, not all, but probably a lot of humans experience shame. And it's like I was saying, we have the power to de-shame, to control that, you know, how we perceive things, how we receive things from other people. So there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope. I want to talk a little bit about my personal experience with shame. So I know I mentioned in the previous episode that I struggled with vaginismus, and I still do to this day. And what vaginismus is it's a pelvic floor disorder where muscles contract and tense up. It was particularly the way it affected me was any kind of insertion, whether sexual or non-sexual, tampons, gynecologists going to get a pap smear, all that stuff was impossible for me because my pelvic floor just would not allow it. And I had no idea why. I'm fortunate that I've never experienced sexual trauma, and that's a lot of times what vaginismus comes from, is sexual trauma. It also can happen after childbirth because, you know, that in itself can be a trauma just with the pain of it and the labor of it. But then I've read, and it was very affirming to read, that vaginismus can come on because of shame. Now, I was raised in a wonderful, happy home. I am so grateful for my family, my parents. I'm privileged. I'm fortunate. It's been wonderful, but I was raised in a religious home, and it wasn't even that it was like a strict religious that my mom and dad had a lot of rules, and it wasn't strict in that way. It was more that I was going to church every Sunday and internalizing messages that really were shameful, just kind of the Madonna versus whore dynamic of like women are either really pure or they're really evil and sexual, and that's not okay. So that's just something I internalized. I did it. I just remember growing up going to like family life classes in middle school, which were our sex ed classes. Couldn't even call it sex ed. It had to be family life. And I would pass out. I would literally just pass out. It was so embarrassing. One time I had to be taken out of the room in a wheelchair, and it was in front of all my friends and all these other people in middle school, which we all know that middle school is terrifying anyway. So for that to be happening was just like, ugh, are you kidding me? So that was I stacked up experiences like that where I felt embarrassed about anatomy, where I felt embarrassed about talking about anything with sexuality, even like abstinence, which is literally the, you know, absence of sexuality. Like it all made me feel icky, weird, squeamish, white spots would show up. And so that, because I believe, and I think it's just a truth, our mind and our body and our feelings are all very, very connected. Thoughts are not just, well, feelings and thoughts are not just these like obscure things that like that float away from us, if that makes sense. It's all tied in. It's tied into our brains. It's tied into our gut. It's tied into our heart, all these feelings and thoughts that we have. And so I think I was having so many shameful thoughts that it literally manifested in my pelvis, where my muscles just like were getting, they were feeling shame too, and they were getting stressed. And so they tightened up so much that, yeah, I had vaginismus. And then the other side of it was I didn't know what, there was a name for it. So it wasn't until I was, gosh, I want to say 22 or 23. So I was out of college before I even had a name for this condition. I did not really do much sexual activity up through high school and, you know, college. And like, it doesn't matter. Like, however you want to experience sexuality is you. That's your right. That's what you get to do. Me personally, I always felt kind of like, oh, I would wish I could have sex or just any kind of sexual activity, because I wanted to explore that. But I just also couldn't because I felt very guilty about it. And also my body wouldn't let me. It literally would not let me. I can think of a numerous times where it was so embarrassing, like being with another person and like crying because it was just like everything felt painful to me. So anyway, I go to the gynecologist for my very first pap smear, and she's, you know, about to put the speculum in, and I just break down crying. I feel like I'm going to pass out. I freaked out. And it was not a good experience because she kind of looked at me like I was weird, and she was like, I don't know what's wrong with you. But she did hand me a business card, and it was for a women's wellness center. I had no idea what to expect, but I went with and had my first appointment with someone in the office, and they told me I had vaginismus. And I was actually just talking about this with someone before we started the episode. It is so affirming when you finally have a name for something that you've been experiencing and that's caused you stress or that's caused you shame or that's just made you feel like I'm unfixable, I'm broken. So I had a name for what I was experiencing. And after 3 years, 4 years, 4 years total of therapy, which it was physical therapy. And I started with one person and she was great. But then I moved on to another person when I myself moved to another city. And she has changed my life. She is the best. I just think of her as just the best person I've ever met because she helped me so much. And it was physical therapy. She literally helped massage out my pelvic floor muscles and work out that tightness. And simultaneously, I saw a psychiatrist here and there just to talk about some of the stuff. But honestly, just having that physical therapy experience, I'm lucky, was pretty much enough for me to kind of like undo a lot of the shame, undo a lot of the learning that I had developed throughout my adolescence of just like sex being bad, sex being evil. And it was quite the experience. So all this to say that shame isn't just about a feeling. Shame lives in our bodies. It can live in communities. It's toxic. And so I'm going to talk a little bit more about how we think about shame, how it shows up, other things that within sexuality that we feel shame about, how to combat that. And then I have a couple of great questions from listeners about their experiences with shame. Also, I just want to say, if you feel like you might be experiencing vaginismus or pelvic floor pain, and this can happen in all bodies. It's not just bodies with vulvas, also bodies with penises. So all bodies can anybody that has a pelvic floor can experience this. And so if you feel like it's resonating with you, always feel free to reach out to me. You can DM me on Instagram. I'm at MaryAdele_sexeducator. Or you can email me, info@MaryAdele.com. I'm here to listen and support you. So just let me know and I can point you in the direction of help. Okay, so I don't know if any of you all have seen Big Mouth. It's like my new favorite cartoon. I'm not a big adult cartoon person, but I really liked Big Mouth. I thought it was hilarious. And within the second season, there's what's called the Shame Wizard. And this is the voice inside our heads that makes us feel really bad about our sexuality. And I think what's powerful about this is that you can name your shame wizard. So instead of this voice existing inside you and you not being able to differentiate it from who you are, having it be called the shame wizard, or you can pick any name. You can call it your inner critic. You can call it the gremlin. So I know some people call it the mean girl. Lots of different names. Pick one that resonates with you. But this way, you're othering that voice. And it takes a while. It's definitely a practice to be able to be like, oh, that's my shame wizard talking right now. That's not me. That's the voice that's trying to make me feel bad about something I'm doing. Now, there's times that maybe you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, and then you do need to like listen up. But for the most part, we're really our own worst critic. We shame ourselves for not working hard enough, for not sleeping enough, for not, I don't know, eating the right foods. Like, we are constantly bringing our own selves down, and we just don't need to do that. It's just, you don't have to. It takes up a lot of your energy, takes up a lot of your heart space, and it makes it harder for you to experience pleasure. So I would highly recommend tuning into your shame wizard. And you don't have to like be like, shut up, shame wizard, just shut up and like never talk again. Like, that's too hard to do. Like, it's a practice. So you're going to have to just start noticing it when it pops up and be like, oh, I think that was my shame wizard talking. That's all you have to do is notice it. You don't have to combat it yet. But as you start noticing more and more, you will naturally start combating it and being like, you know what, I'm not listening to you today. That's my plug for the shame wizard. Yeah. So other things that within sexuality, I think as a collective, we feel shame about. People feel shame about masturbating. People feel shame about having sex with more than one person. People feel shame about having no sex at all. We definitely have a lot of shame about bodies. That's a whole nother episode. I'm going to talk about body image. But that can really affect when you're being intimate with another person and all you can think about is how you look. And, you know, that shame wizard pops up and be like, oh, you're, you know, this is too jiggly or whatever. All that nonsense that our shame wizard loves to throw at us when we're trying to be intimate with another person. So yeah, we'll definitely talk about bodies on another episode. We definitely feel shame about other people judging our sexualities, whether that's our sexual expression, our orientation, the way we experience sexuality. There's a lot of voices out there telling us what we should and should not do. So we definitely feel shame around that. And then if you did have a strict family upbringing, like, that's something that you can carry into your adult life and forever life. If you experienced a lot of strictness growing up, because a lot of times when families are really strict with each other, it just makes you super on high alert of doing anything wrong, including how you engage in sexuality. So now I have some tips, thank goodness, for how to combat a lot of this shame. So the first one has to kind of ties in with the shame wizard. It's our self-talk. I think the first step is definitely just to hear yourself be mean to yourself. If you can just start noticing that, that's huge. That's called self-awareness, and that's huge. So I just want to applaud anyone who's starting out with that, and you start noticing, oh man, I'm being really mean to myself right now. Like, that's like, for that moment, that's enough. That's all you need to do. Eventually, I would recommend trying to input a more positive self-talk. So, you know, those times that you're like, oh, I feel like I look like exhausted today. No one's like, everyone's going to be judging me for like the bags under my eyes or whatever. Turning that around and just being like, you know what? Like, I've been working really hard lately. There's no wonder I look tired. I've been working so hard. Maybe tonight I can go to bed an hour earlier. So it's a shift. You really have to practice it. Anytime you feel yourself being mean to yourself, kind of pausing, thinking about what you just said, and how can you reframe that so that it's more, it doesn't even have to be positive. It can just be neutral, you know, just more accepting of where you're at in life, of what's happening, of what you're doing, because we all deserve to feel worthy, and you all are worthy. So self-talk is a big, hard practice, but it's so valuable, and it's really like, it will change your life. It's changed mine. I still struggle with, you know, being hard on myself, but I've gotten way better about being like, oh, that's like, you don't have to say that. That's pretty mean. Like, how can we reframe this? And it's just made me feel a lot better about myself. Also having to do with language, the word should literally serves no purpose. It doesn't. It's a waste of your energy, and it's a shame word. That's why it's got SH in it. It is literally about shame. So, you know, when you say things like, oh, I should have, you know, taken the trash out earlier today instead of waiting until last minute tonight. No, like, but you didn't. So just go do it. Don't waste any time shoulding all over yourself. Just do what you need to do and move on. It's like dwelling, and it's kind of like pitying in a way. And there's just no room for it. You don't have to do it. It'll clear so much space in your head. I'm telling you, I would think it's probably would be really interesting to pay attention to how many times you either say or think the word should in one day. I bet you it shows up multiple times. And again, just a waste of energy. You don't need it. It's a shame word. It's mean. Get rid of it. I also like to think about the word nourish. And this can be both in terms of food, but also in just how you're treating yourself. We live in a society that's very intense about nutrition and diets and always being the healthiest as you possibly can. I think that we need to focus more on just nourishing ourselves, and that could mean ice cream or that could mean vegetables. Nourishing is such a sweeter word. It's about taking care of yourself and giving yourself what you need and what you crave in the moment. And craving for sugar is very real. And so the more you kind of just can listen to your craving for sugar instead of trying to be like, no, never again, restriction, I need to restrict, blah, 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 or I'm never gonna like feel good about myself. Like, that is a lot of, first of all, shame wizard in there. But also, like, sometimes when you, well, no, all the time, I believe, if you're constantly restricting yourself, you're gonna want that thing more. And so if you can just kind of like tune into what your body's feeling, like maybe you need a nap. Maybe you need to stretch. Maybe you need to lay down for hours and just watch TV. It's nourish, and that's nourishing yourself when you can listen and just feed into what you feel like you need in the moment. So that's just a plug for nourish instead of nutrition. Okay, this is a big one. Stop judging people. And that's not easy. We are naturally judgmental people. It's more, again, paying attention to when you do judge people. So if you're walking down the street and you see someone and you judge them about something they're wearing or whatever, it's good to just pay attention to that. To just be like, oh, why do I, it's not even, like, it's none of my business. And also, like, what good did that just do? Just judging that person probably didn't do you any good, right? And I do want to point out that a lot of people will judge and then a second later will be like, oh, that's mean. Or like, I don't need to say that. That's your true self. That's your higher self being, that's who you are, that second thought. So take peace in that, that I think we all naturally, even though we're kind of conditioned to judge each other, there's this second thought that really can come into play that's just like, no, I accept this person for who they are, or I accept these people, or I accept this experience for what it is. So the less you judge other people, the less you're going to judge yourself, and that's going to get rid of shame. It's as simple as that. But I'm not saying it's as easy as that. So just work on it. Just work on not judging, or just paying attention to when you do judge so you can start retraining your brain. Self-care. It's big way of combating shame is just nourishing yourself, taking care of yourself, saying, hey, I'm important enough to do this for myself. That's just an organic way of kind of building that self-worth, that self-love. Big plug for self-care. Community care. So this is important too, taking care of your communities. Maybe you're an activist. Maybe you like to cook dinner for friends. Anything you can do, try to make it like a practice once a week to take care of your community. That's going to help. Your energy is going to be put into helping this other person or these other people. So that energy is going to replace shame energy, right? The less room you have for shame if you're taking care of yourself and if you're taking care of others. And then also stretch and move. So if you're feeling like really down on yourself, get up and do a stretch. I'm telling you, it works. When you can move around energy in your body because you're moving, it shifts something in you. Dance, put on a song you love. any kind of movement that's fun, that feels good, is going to help decrease shame. And then masturbate. I mean, this is a whole nother episode because I know there's a lot of to unpack there. But masturbation is a great way to show self-love. And you can have so much fun with it. I was just taking a bunch of classes last week, and one was all about sex toys. There's so many out there. I'll find out some websites for either the next episode or to put in the description where you can find great sex toys that'll be fun for you to play with or maybe with another person. And it's just like making sex joyful, you know, and about having fun and even about laughter. That's just awesome and healthy. So big plug for masturbation, which is a form of self-care. All right. So I do have a couple of questions from listeners. The first one. So I heard from a listener who was wondering about dealing with the shame that came from sexual trauma they experienced. So this is a big one. And first of all, my heart goes out to you, sending lots of love and light your way. I'm so sorry that this happened. Quick disclaimer, I'm not a therapist. So anyone listening who's experienced sexual trauma and feels like, you know, they want to work on it or they want to talk about it, be sure to seek out support from someone with training in therapy if you're able to. I know not everyone's able to do that. If not, hopefully the things that I recommend can be helpful, but do whatever resonates with you. Do what you feel like will work for you. Okay. So my first piece of advice would be to spend some time with yourself. And by that I mean platonic intimacy. So not necessarily masturbation or anything overtly sexual, but platonic intimacy. I think I talked about this also in the Healthy Minds podcast episode, but this is about connecting with your body in a way that's just intimate, that's vulnerable, that feels safe and pleasurable. So an example, just rubbing your arms back and forth, maybe putting your hand on your chest and taking deep breaths, maybe taking a bath and just laying in that warm water, listening to some music and really feeling like you're in your body in the bath. Massage your own feet. That's one of my favorite ones to do. I'll just sit in bed, watch some TV, and I'll just kind of get the knots out of my feet. So those are just a few examples. I mean, everyone has different ways of comforting themselves, maybe a soft blanket, maybe a weighted blanket, anything that is both for you and by yourself, but also it's about your body and being connected in your body. So that might also be dance. That's what platonic intimacy can be. And platonic intimacy does include other people sometimes, but I'm talking about just solo platonic intimacy. And If you're massaging your feet and you start to get uncomfortable, notice the discomfort and just take note of it. It's helpful to kind of have the affirmation of like, I'm okay. I accept that I feel uncomfortable about this. Just saying that out loud to yourself can really give you some relief. But I think it's also to take note of what parts of your body make you feel uncomfortable. And if it's your whole body, then just start really slow. Like do the blanket thing. Just cover yourself in a blanket. Don't have any electronics near you and just lay there for a little bit. So I'm recommending this because feeling more embodied within yourself is going to help you be more in tune with your body and the needs and the wants and the desires and the dislikes. So it's kind of just like, I know that trauma, sexual trauma, this is not everyone's experience, but it can make you feel really distant from your body and even hate your body. And again, I'm so sorry that if that's, you know, any listener's experience. So it's really kind of about slowly, peacefully as you can, just reacclimating yourself with your body and feeling more embodied. And hopefully these can be sensual practices. I mean, I also want to make a plug for like meditation and yoga. Both meditation and yoga, I know everyone's always like, do yoga, do meditation. And it's kind of become trendy. But it really can help. It really can help. Even 5 minutes, download a meditation app. I've got the Insight app, I think is what it's called. And it's great. There's so many meditations on there that are free. You just hit play and they're 5 minutes and you're just sitting there listening to nice words. Most of them are guided. You can do music ones too. And you're just sitting in your body, not looking or distracted by anything else. As soon as you hit play, put your phone like far away from you so you can still hear it, but you can't touch it. Don't be near a computer screen and just let yourself sit in your body for a little bit. And I know that PTSD is a thing. So the nice thing about like a guided meditation is there's enough distraction that hopefully you won't tune into your PTSD, but you're also still feeling grounded, feeling in yourself. And yoga is great because you're moving and listening to a person talk. So that might be the first step. And like I was saying, I think these can be sensual practices without being like sexual or triggering PTSD. And so once you've practiced this kind of being within your body for a while and you've noticed hopefully more peace within yourself, then maybe start exploring fantasies you have in your head. Anything that turns you on. It doesn't have to be just like a whole scene of fantasy. It can just be little things that maybe a smell that makes you feel turned on, or maybe a sight that makes you feel turned on. I would start really slow and I wouldn't spend a lot of time in it if it's making you feel super uncomfortable or if it's making PTSD pop up. But that would be the next step after kind of reacclimating yourself with your body, is to start thinking about things that turn you on. So then I also want to make a plug for a few different options for sexual therapy out there, one being sacred sexual healing as well as sexual surrogacy, and then there's somatic therapy. So I'm going to run through some definitions and then I have to probably wrap up. So what I'll do is I'll save the other question for my next episode. But okay, so sacred sexual healing consists of a combination of ancient tantra, healing arts, and modern psychology, completed with conscious communication and a focus on inner union, working towards inner union as a journey to wholeness and expansion, where one heals and embraces aspects within oneself instead of searching for them in the form of an ideal or a perfect partner. This helps you just experience a more diverse life as well. I've heard of someone doing this and it really helped them. It might not be a good fit for everyone. I'm sure it's not, but it's way more, I think it's more a more spiritual way to heal, if that sounds like something that would be a good fit for you. There's also sexual surrogacy. So sexual surrogates are practitioners trained in addressing issues of intimacy and sexuality. A surrogate partner works in collaboration with a therapist to meet the goals of their client. So it's a triadic model, and it's two people are supporting one client. And so the client can engage in experiential exercises and build a relationship with their surrogate partner while processing and integrating their experiences with their therapist or clinician. I just learned about this one. I think it's really fascinating and awesome that it exists. It's definitely not going to be for everybody, but just look into sexual surrogacy. And then lastly, this is probably the one I'd most highly recommend, is somatic therapy, which is a holistic therapy that studies the relationship between the mind and body in regard to psychological past. So the theory behind somatic therapy is that trauma symptoms are the effects of instability of the autonomic nervous system. So past traumas disrupt this part of the nervous system. And so somatic therapy is very much about being more embodied and while also working through trauma. I have a friend who's a practitioner of somatic therapy. I've just heard the best things about it. So obviously these options cost money if that's not possible for you at this time, but sounds like something you'd like to try. Just start saving up and do the things I mentioned previously. I mean, I know just start saving up sounds flippant, and I know that's not possible for everyone. But if you can start saving up, do it so that you can possibly do one of these therapies. And also try to do the things that I mentioned previously, just building that intimacy and love within yourself. Last thing, I did hear about a festival called Interfusion. I would look into it. It's apparently 4 days, and it's all about connecting with yourself and your body somatically, sensually. And you get to work with practitioners in the field for not a bad price, if I remember right. But that might be a good place to begin. And I'm sending all my love your way, listener. We're going to pause for pleasure real quick. This is my last segment, what's been giving me pleasure recently. I've been seeing a lot of cool tattoos on people's thighs. I think that's just such a cool look. Also sunsets. There's been a couple of great sunsets the past week. I love it when there's pink in the sunset. And then black cherry seltzer water. I'm a big LaCroix seltzer water fan, so the black cherry flavor has been giving me a lot of joy and pleasure lately. All right, you can find me at MaryAdele_sexeducator on Instagram. And then I'm also at www.maryadele.com. And then, yeah, we'll do another episode on shame next time. My friend Aaron will hopefully be here. And thanks, Scarlets. Tune in next month. And make sure you're seeking pleasure out there. All right. Talk to you later.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.